All right, welcome to another podcast of BibleTruthOnline.com. And tonight, we are continuing with another Bible study podcast series. And this will be on Philippians. So we are going to start reading chapters 1 through 4. And beginning with chapter 1, Paul and Timothy, bondservants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi with the bishops and deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, make me request for you all with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ.
I think it's important we stop right here and let people know this is the Church of Macedonia.
Yeah, this is Philippi is in Macedonia.
So when we start talking about the different things and you want to go back and check them out, it's the Church of Macedonia that we're talking about, the major church
right
here.
And just, you know, particulars, Philippi is named after Philip of Macedon, which is the father of Alexander the Great. So in actuality, this Philippi would be the first city on the European continent that Paul preaches the gospel at.
Yeah.
Quick note, this word will come up a couple times, and I think it's an important word. Paul and Timothy, bondservants. What is it to be a bondservant?
Okay, a bondservant is somebody who has been, it's a servant of a master, but it is one who has been bought and paid for. Okay? As opposed to just, you know, you go down to the thing and you turn around and you select a slave and you buy the services of him and that. A bondservant is one who's paid all your debts and now you belong to him, and that master can treat you as family, as servant, and as completely. In this particular case, you were supposed to die. You have been bought out of death by Jesus Christ, and now you totally belong to him. Everything that you are, will be, or whatever, forever and forever, now you belong to him.
Right. So, continuing on with verse 7, just as it is right for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my chains and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you all are partakers with me of grace.
The reason this comes up again is the Macedonian church. If you go study the Macedonian church, they're the ones who are so poor, and they come up to Paul, and they start giving him money for donations and stuff. And Paul goes, you're giving way too much. And they beg him to take more.
Yeah.
Okay, they're the ones who totally support Paul.
Right.
Okay, Paul goes, no, that's enough. That's more than your share. And they go, no, please stay here. We beg you to take more.
Right.
This is a very different church.
Mm-hmm. Verse 8, for God is my witness, how greatly I long for you with the affection of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. But I want you to know, brethren, that the things which happened to me have actually turned out for the furtherance of the gospel, so that it's become evident to the whole palace guard and to all the rest that my chains are in Christ. Quick note on that.
These are the people that absolutely love Paul to death.
Right.
They love the message. They heard the message. They were concerned for Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Because without Paul, they're worried about not getting more of this message. I mean, these are people that, they're the complete opposite of the Corinthian church. They don't have all these spiritual gifts and stuff like that. They actually do what they're supposed to be doing.
Right.
Okay? And they want Paul. They want the safety of Paul. These people here, they do whatever they could to help Paul.
Right.
Okay? If Paul's hurting, they're hurting.
Verse 14, and most of the brethren in the Lord, having become confident by my chains, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ even from envy and strife, and some also from goodwill. The former preach Christ from selfish ambition, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my chains, but the latter out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. you got to ask the question who Paul's talking about.
Well, we're going into a bit of opinion here, but there's, when you start talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's really only two versions of it, okay? You go in, you have the disciples, you come out of the disciples, and then it breaks off into churches in that. Mm-hmm. You have the Judaizers, who are the Jews, who are becoming Christians, or they're bringing that Judah Christianity co-message out. And then there is Paul, who's bringing out a message who is more Jew than any of these people. Mm-hmm. And he's going, no, no, look, it's something else. That is just the book, but the ingredients in the book, this is what it's saying.
Right. Verse 18, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice.
And part of what Paul's saying there is even these people, these Judaizers who are coming out with it, look, it's from that Jewish past message. It's the ingredients used to bring out this gospel.
Right.
Okay? If you keep bringing out the story, even if you've got, a little up here, a little up there, the story's in there. You can find Jesus there. The point is to find Jesus and not to find some religion.
For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. It's a good point to stop there.
When Paul goes through this, every day of his life, he's a bondservant. He's bought up by Jesus. Now, should Jesus decide to have him die? Fine, he goes to his master. He's done his job. But to stay here means he can do more work. Okay? Paul's not looking for himself. He's not looking to bring anything to himself other than to bring replacements in for him.
Verse 22, but if I live on in the flesh, this will mean fruit for my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I cannot tell.
What Paul's saying there is, I think he's saying he doesn't know what the choice will be.
Yeah.
It's not that Paul's going to choose to die or choose to live and go on. He's already come to the point where he's going to go on until death comes to him. Mm-hmm.
For I am hard-pressed between the two, having desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. He's enforcing that.
He knows where he's going to end up eventually.
Yeah. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Verse 27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or I am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Quickly, what is the faith of the gospel?
It's all about that Jesus came. Jesus came, Jesus died for your sins. It's in him that you're going to be saved. Now what Paul's talking about here with these other opposition parts coming in, it says Jesus, but you got to do the Jewish laws too.
Right.
It's Jesus but.
Yeah.
Okay?
It's Jesus and a little bit of pagan religion thrown in.
Pagan religion.
Right.
Judaism thrown in.
There are a lot of different splinter groups at this time in the early churches. It's amazing to see how many of these little splinter groups exist, almost how the devil tries to influence things, you know?
And remember, from the church of Jerusalem, what happens if you're one of these Judah teachers? You're a teacher, you're kind of losing your way in Judaism. You come into Christianity, and you don't quite have the whole package. Well, you're not going to stick around where you're not that authoritative figure anymore. You're going to branch out. You're going to get out there farther. And these are the people going around.
Yeah,
Paul brought you the message of Jesus. Now let me show you the Judaism way of how to do Jesus.
Right. Now let's back up verse 27. Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Examples of that?
It's tough to say here because the context hasn't brought much out to it. But Paul's talking here in opposition to this Judaism or this pagan rituals that's coming through.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more about, you don't have to be circumcised. You don't worship idol meat.
Right.
You don't do these other things. You stay with what the gospel was. Christ Jesus came to save you, and you keep following that message, and not more.
Yeah.
Okay? It's not about looking at it. It's not about being better. It's not about following more laws. It's not about trying to combine column A pagan rituals with Judaism, with Christianity. It's not about adding more into it.
Right.
It's getting that gold nugget, getting rid of all the dirt and just doing the gold.
Right. It's verse 28. And not in any way terrified by your adversaries.
Right, which are all these people around saying, no, you need this, you need that.
Which is to them a proof of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that from God. 29. For to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, but also to suffer for his sake. Strong point there. That, you know, Paul's reinforcing a statement here that following Christ means some suffering, which has been one of our points with faith.
Right. If you're not doing it the correct way, you're probably not really going to get a whole lot of trial.
Right.
But if you are doing it, if you are trusting Christ in that, then there's opposition out there looking for you.
It's an interesting point, too, that the apostles and disciples of Jesus' time, you look at how many of them gave their life. They were persecuted, murdered. You have all these different apostles and disciples going around in different areas, separated from each other many of the times, in order to save their own lives. At any time, they could have said, hey, this old Jesus thing is a big lie. But not one of them ever does it. Now, that's a fact of the early church. And some listeners might feel that suffering to the extreme of giving up your life isn't necessary. You see, in the 20th century, Christians are still persecuted, and it still goes on today. One of the burdens of faith is, it may come down to someone telling you, hey, if you don't tell me that Christ is a lie, I'm going to kill you. Us in this group have been through enough in life, studied enough of our faith to know that if I had that opportunity, just like what Paul's saying here, I'm not suicidal and I'm not trying to end my life, but I do wait for better things, and better things is being with Christ. So you can't tell me that I'm going to deny my faith by threatening my physical tent of flesh that's going to die anyway one day. I have no problem in saying, I'm sorry, but I'm not denying Christ. You know, we'll see if that ever approaches. You don't know what fear it is, but I'm prepared to go all the way if I have to, you know.
Well, you get little tests like that. Here in America, you don't see a whole lot of it, but it is out there.
Yeah.
Because America is one of these countries that tries to slide you to the other side.
Right.
They don't try to hit you to the other side. But America's not the strongest growing Christian nation.
Right.
India, China, these are your strongest Christian nations growing. And the persecution there is lethal.
Yeah.
I mean, it is life and death.
Yeah.
I'm a Christian. Fine, we're going to kill you. You have a choice right there. You want to live, you want to die.
Right.
And you're put to the test.
Exactly.
Here in America, we've been blessed. But with that blessing, there's not much substance either. You hear so much of the message. Look at the Christian message. You get the Benny Hinn's. You get this and that. Or you look at them going, man, what are you trying to say? And, you know, there's no life and death. No one's threatening them.
Yeah.
Okay? But real Christian things, when you go to step up to real Christian issues, there's a fight.
Right. Right. Even, I mean, it's suffering in a small sense. Even this thing I've been on with the Happy Holidays thing.
I
say Merry Christmas at work, and all of a sudden I've got five people that hate my guts. Judging, I have to suffer through whatever insults or jokes may arise from me being a Christian, which is absolutely fine, but it's not fair. You know, you see Christians being targeted in the media. You know, you get in the science field, and you make a statement about something, you look like an idiot if you call yourself a Christian, which is absolutely fine with me, because I know it to be the truth. But the suffering for his sake can come in many different forms. And it's either you figure out what the truth is and follow it and stand by your guard, knowing that you know your scriptures, you've been through enough, your faith has tried and tested you to the point that you're strong, sufferings will happen.
Well, I think it's the point is, if you really want to get in, you really want to study, don't worry, the trials will come.
Yeah.
The deeper you go, the more the trials will come.
And you won't grow without those trials.
So if your life is perfect, you probably don't know very much.
Yeah.
You probably really haven't delved into anything really serious.
Exactly.
Yet.
Right. So chapter 1 finishes off with a simple verse 30, which is short, having the same conflict which you saw in me, and now here, is in me.
There, the people of Philippi, they've seen what Paul's gone through, they've seen these other people come into their town. Paul's letting them know, the war is coming, here it is.
Right. All right, well that finishes off chapter 1 of Philippians, and we'll move on to the next podcast, will be on chapter 2.